This story is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I chose Luke. We was in Luke Wednesday night, and sometimes we forget that Jesus was a human. He's the Son of God, yes, but He was 100% man. He was born the same way, ate the same way, grew the same way as you and I would. And I think that's why the writer of Hebrews tells us He's our ultimate example. You and I cannot go to a God who don't understand. We can go to one who does, who's been through it, knows about it, and can relate to it. And to me, that makes a difference, doesn't you? If I'm talking to somebody and they're telling me their opinion about raising kids, and I ask them how many kids they have, and they say none, my conversation's over. Because I've been that guy. I've been at Walmart, them kids running all over the place, and said, if that was my kid, this is what I would do. Anybody ever done that? But until you got the kid that's doing that, anybody here's kid done it? I looked up and one of mine, the least one, y'all know who he is, come riding down the aisle on a bicycle, hollering, Dad. I'm like, I don't know who the kid is. You can almost guarantee as a parent you'll eat those words one day. So when somebody's telling me how to raise a kid who has no kids, I'm probably not listening much. So, I look for examples. Jesus gave us a good example of a 12-year-old boy Wednesday night and how he was about the father's business, but the father wasn't Joseph. So the first time in Scripture we got Jesus acknowledging that He's the Son of God. Now listen, that made a big problem with people. But you know what I decided is, I can say about me whatever I want to say. That doesn't make it true. Thank you. But today's lesson makes a bigger difference. Watch this. Chapter number 3. Jesus is now not 12 but 30. And the Bible said in verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in the bodily shape like a dove unto Him. Y'all know the story. This is how Luke records it. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Matthew says, this is my beloved Son. Matthew says it that way. I want to share with you what Luke says. Luke says, thou art my beloved Son. Now if you read in John chapter 1, here's what you'll find out. John heard God say it. It doesn't say it's a voice only Jesus heard. It was a voice that came from heaven that everybody heard, that was gathered there. And what God acknowledged was, this is my Son. Luke says, you're my Son. I love that. God wanted everybody to know, He's been saying since He's 12 years old, I'm the Son of God. But I want you all to know, He is my Son. Does that make a difference? So I had like two or three simple points today to think about. And I want to use God as a father example. Is that okay? I think if I'm looking for a father example, I got to go to the greatest father of all. And He's going to teach me how to be a dad. Amen? You know, by the way, I've been called a lot of things. Pastor, brother, son. But the greatest name I think I've ever been called is Dad. That happened in 1986. And when I held that little guy, my life changed. Because for the first time, I realized I was responsible for something. And I realized everything I do could have a bearing on who this kid becomes. And I want to be honest with you, it scared me to death. Greater responsibility than pastoring the church, I felt. God put this one in my hand, my responsibility to raise him. So that name Daddy comes with responsibility. And I hate to admit this, but I will to you. I didn't always seek God's way of being a father. Sometimes I sought my own way, what I thought would be the best. Anybody relate to that? What would make me the better dad? And I would see kids with their dad and say, I want to be that dad. Scott, I want to be the cool dad. Some dads can't wait to drink the first beer with their son. Do the man thing. But those are things that me and this dad never did. He knew what beer was, but see, the Lord changed his life. And the dad that I had when I was a small kid became a different dad when I got a little older. He became a praying dad. He became a dad that didn't meet us after church, but he went with us to church, Scott. He became a dad that read the Bible. He became a dad that God ordained a deacon. Before his son was ever ordained, my dad was ordained. He became that dad. And by the way, we have golfed together. Actually, we chased balls around the hayfield together. We've done that kind of stuff. We fish together. But I want to tell you, of all the things we've done together, we've worked a lot together physically. This is the stuff I've loved the most. The mission field together, he's been there. He's helped work. These are the things. But I want you to see three things today that God shows me about a dad. Number one, I've read four accounts and I don't see Mary there. She could be Amanda, but I don't know. But I can tell you who was... I don't even see Joseph. But I'll tell you who was there at this special occasion. His father. Do you know a dad that will show up will make a difference? There's not a boy in this room that ever played a sport who didn't look at the stands to see his dad first. I'm being honest, am I right? Listen, my mom was there, I could hear her mouth. Voice, mom, I cleared it up, voice. Usually, Stephen, what are you doing? Not dad. I had him as a coach once or twice. But always looking over there to see him was an important thing. Now, I regret, as Josh grew playing ball, that sometimes church was in the way. Now, I hate to use that terminology, Bev, but I couldn't be two places at the same time. And I chose church over my son. And sometimes I've rethought that and think, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do either. It wasn't like I was missing a service, but it is an extracurricular activity with church. But I can tell you, dad showing up is one of the most important things. Does anybody here like statistics? You don't believe in them, do you? I don't either. But I checked four sites, four different groups that did the statistics, and they all came up with the same number. So I think there has to be some truth to this. I want you to listen with me. 63% of youth suicides come from homes without a father. youth suicide is on the increase. 63% of the kids that would commit suicide come from a home without a dad. 90% of runaway children come from a home without a dad. 9 out of 10 kids that run away come from a home without a dad. 85% of kids that have behavior disorders. 85% come from a home without a dad. 71% of high school dropouts. Anybody want to guess? A home without a dad. 75%, this is kind of scary. 75% of youth in drug or alcohol treatment come from a home without a dad. Can I say this? Making a kid does not make you a father. These are homes without a dad. 85% of men in prison know 85% come from homes without a father. This is not church-related stuff. This is what the world society is trying to do to figure out what's going on in the world. It seems to me, and it seems to the world, that something's happened to our men. I said this morning on my devotional online. I said it to you all today. I think society's trying to take manhood away from our men. All right, now the churches get involved. If a father doesn't go to church, this is not a father not in the home. This is if the father doesn't go to church. This is done by the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the biggest Baptist group in our country. If a father doesn't go to church, 1 out of 50 kids will go to church faithfully when they're an adult. 1 out of 50, Deborah, if the dad does not go. Mama's going, mama's taking the kids. But when the kid becomes an adult, the kid drops out. 1 in 50 stay in. Does that not bother nobody here besides Steve? 1 in 50? Okay, preacher, then tell us what happens if both go. 75% of kids that both parents go to church will go to church as an adult. Y'all hear me? 75% of these kids, if mom and dad are sitting in a pew, will go to church when they become an adult. If both parents are sitting there. Now, I like those odds. I want my kids and grandkids to go to church. I want my kids and grandkids to grow up and have a great life. Can I tell you what I want most for my kids and grandkids? I want them to be saved. And the greatest opportunity they have is if Josh sits there with Amanda and brings those 3 kids. More likely, those 3 kids are going to get saved than if Josh goes somewhere else and doesn't go with Amanda. So you think I'm going to harp at him about going? I probably am. I'm 60 or almost, and he's 36, 35. And I'm telling 36, I ain't done. I'm going to say, miss you. If he don't go here to church, I'm going to go today. I have the right to want to see my grandkids saved. Any of you grannies, papas, pops, nanas, whatever you're called, then you get on these kids and say, look, Dad, sitting beside you. You want that kid saved? Go to church with him. Statistically, it's going to make a difference. Show up. Jesus, big day in his life. And the Father showed up. Amen. Now, number two, God had something to say. You know, in my family growing up, and Debbie's here, so she can vouch for me. I you'd get in trouble when I talk and I say stuff, Debbie, but you can vouch. Mom said a lot more than Dad said. You're not going to say it because you're sitting by her. But you can nod. A lot more came from Mom. But I'm telling you, when Dad said something, you listened. When Mom said, "I can't wait till your dad gets home," he always came home. And Mom always, Kelsey, had something to say. But when Dad had something to say, you better listen. Anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Jesus' dad showed up. He called, I say dad because he called him Abba Father, Dad. His dad showed up at his baptism and Dubby had something to say. Look at this with me. He said, "Thou art my beloved son." You done said that, preacher. I know, but I want you to see something. I want you to see something that maybe you've never paid attention to. What a father says over a son or a daughter can make a difference in that kid's life. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to prove it to you. And then we're going to go, okay? But here's what I want you to know. How many of you son-in-laws have married a princess? Spoiled girl that a dad spoiled? Brett, you won't raise your hand? No. Sarah's just smiling. Johnny ain't saying a word. You know why? Because we dads have taken these little girls and we have spoiled them rotten. Come on, Scott. Thank you. And we've told them they're a princess. And we've told them that they deserve the best. Are we telling the truth, Dad? And when the guy comes to date her, we size him up. Don't we? We look him over. We talk to him. I told him to run. Hey, look, did I not say it? I said, "This is your shot. Run." But he didn't. He stayed. I've got Sarah in the buggy. David's driving the buggy, taking her to the aisle. I said, "If you don't want to do this, baby, I'll tell David and we'll go the other way. You can live with Daddy the rest of your life." And I'm in it. And I still tell her every once in a while when she's like overwhelmed with all these kids, I said, "You could have stayed with me." Y'all don't believe me, but I'm telling you, what you say over a kid sticks. You're useless, you're no good, you're stupid. Well, stick. You can do anything. You can get through this. What a dad says will stick. Now, let me tell you why this is so important for me to tell you today. Chapter 3 of Luke, chapter 3 of Matthew, Jesus gets baptized. God acknowledges, "This is my son." Anybody know what happens in chapter 4? The devil shows up in the wilderness, Dub. And you know what he says to Jesus right off the bat? "If you're the son of God." See, the devil wants your kid to doubt, Scott, if they really are that good. See, so the devil wants your kid to doubt if they're really that good. That's why, Paul, you got to say over your kid, "Yes, you are. You're great. You're awesome." And all the kids, you're the greatest of all kids. Because I'm telling you why, the devil wants you to think otherwise. And how many young ladies has ended up with some sorry, no good, low life man because the devil convinced them they wasn't good enough for a good man. And it's going to go back, Patrick, because some daddy didn't let her know how good she was. That's pretty good, Brother Steve. You keep going right there. What you say over your kids, Brother Bobby, will go out for eternity. Who here did not know what God said over His Son? We all did. Because of all the things that God said, we remember that one, don't we? Can I ask you something? A 30-year-old Jesus in a fleshly body just like Steve's, you think Jesus needed to hear that? Don't forget the cross is in front of Him. He knows where He's headed. He needed to know that God, Daddy, was on His side and He had something to say. So everybody else would know. Can I tell you, Daddy, something today? Talk to your kids. Show up. Talk to them. The things you say to them are going to matter. Go with me to Genesis 35. This is one of those scriptures that I caught myself going, I didn't realize that was there. Y'all have had them before, haven't you? This was one of those. Genesis 35, I'm done. You know, for 400 years, God hadn't said nothing. Even the announcement of Jesus' birth, God didn't make it. He sent an angel to make it. But when God makes an announcement, 400 years later, He says, "This is My Son. Come on. And I am..." What? Well, please. I've told you 1,000 times, I'll tell you 1,001, the thing that stuck out of my mind about junior, senior year of high school was pulling into my dad's garage and dad coming out, and I realized he already knew what I did. And he stood right there in front of me, Brother Wayne, and he said, "I'm ashamed of you." I would rather have had a beating, Brother Arnie, than had him say, "I'm ashamed of you." He didn't say, "I don't love you." He said, "I'm ashamed of you." But I'm telling you, when I heard it, he's pleased, I've hung on to those words. Amen? Amen? God says from heaven, from His throne, "This is My Son. I'm well pleased." Now watch this. And I'm done. Genesis 35. Jacob had his wife, actually had four. He got about to have his 12th kid from his fourth wives. But this was his favorite. He loved Rachel. That's who he wanted from the whole time to get go. He wanted Rachel. He loved her. And Rachel's pregnant with number 12. Read this with me. "They journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed." That means she was in labor. She had hard labor. "And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, 'Fear not, thou shalt have this son also.'" So Katrina's not a happy story. Rachel's giving birth and the midwife's saying, "This baby's son is coming." But the midwife's not giving a lot of hope for the mom. "And it came to pass as her soul was departing." Rachel's dying in childbirth. Everybody reading this with me? She's dying giving birth to Benjamin. And the Bible said in parentheses, "For she died." As she's dying. She's dying, Brett. She's dying. "And she called her son's name Benoi. Benoi. Anybody know what that means? Son of my sorrow. So the rest of this baby's life, Brett, mama's dying breath, he will be called Benoi, the son of my sorrow. I want you to see how important what I'm about to read to you is. Watch what Dad does. Listen, y'all hearing me? He's losing his favorite wife. He loves her, Katrina. He's losing his wife. And his wife gives birth to this son. And he's telling his wife's saying, "This is the son of my sorrow." In his dying wife's last breath, she says it. And Jacob says this. But his father called him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Do you think, Debbie, that that made any difference in this little boy's life? Here's a little boy, Amanda, that's going to grow the rest of his life thinking that my birthday's the day my mama died. And she named me. You'll be called son of my sorrow. But the dad stepped in and said, "I don't want this to go down like this. This is a sad day. This is a bad day. But I don't want this to go down like this. You're not going to be called son of my sorrow. You're going to be called son of my right hand." Which simply meant that all I have is going to be yours one day. Is that going to make a difference in how this boy grows up? I'm telling y'all today. You look at these little guys and little girls. What you say over them is going to matter. I promise you. It's going to make a difference in their life. I am not writing any books on father. Because I have failed as much as I have done good. But I tell you what I try to do. I try to learn from mistakes. And I'm looking at a father today who is the father of Jesus. And he showed up and he spoke over that kid and he said what that kid needed to hear. Now we can make him Jesus and we can make this thing all holy, or we can see Jesus in a fleshly body just like you and I have, which he did. Going through everyday struggles like you and I will. And the Father said the right words over him that made a difference in him getting to the cross. Fathers, show up. Here's a good way. Say some words that are important over your kids. You're an angel. Well, in my case, fallen angel. But you're an angel. You know, God can use Scripture and help you mold a child in the way he should go. So at 2 o'clock, I'm going to conclude this. Now, you didn't, listen, come and eat with us. Fellowship, I got like a short. I want you to finish with me. I'm going to even share. I won't even tell you. You got to come see. But here's what I want you to do. I want you dads to enjoy this day. But I want you to think about the example of our Heavenly Father. Now, I thought about this as I was getting ready to close. This is what I thought about. There's going to be a lot of single moms probably in a service like this. And they're going to be like, "What about us?" Listen, here's what I can tell you. You said, you preacher, you shared all those statistics, and that scares me. I know. But we serve a God who can help. And if there ain't no daddy in the picture, you still got a Heavenly Father to help you raise those kids. I'm glad there's a guy named Timothy who didn't have a Christian father, but he had a Christian grandmother and mother. And his faith came from them. So I'm not here to to kick you to the curb. I'm here to tell you, God will help you. But what we need in this country is some dads to show up. Amen? And I'm just thankful today for the dads that did show up. I'm going to encourage you to continue to show up. Let's stand and pray today. Father, Lord, I pray this morning. I pray for this invitation. I pray for fathers watching and sitting here today. Lord, I know that it's one of the hardest things we've ever done to be a father. To truly be a father. And sometimes it feels overwhelming, the responsibility. But Lord, we realize sometimes at the end of the day, whew, if I've failed today. But Lord, I'm thankful that some days we get another day, another opportunity. Lord, help us always look to Your example first. And follow the path that You set for us. So I'm thankful today I can just read exactly what You did. You showed up and You spoke some words over Your Son. You encouraged Him. And let Him know who He was and how You felt about Him. Lord, I believe maybe today that's the most important thing to be said to a kid who may be struggling today. I love You. You're my son. You're my daughter. So Lord, I pray Your will would be done in this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.